Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're massive fans of StringJoy guitar strings, and you should be too. StringJoy, if you don't know, are the world's first true string custom shop, but they also do a whole bunch of standard sets made to the same super high custom shop quality. And one of my favourite things about just how lovely Scott and the team are is the StringJoy reward system, a bit like a Tesco club card, but cool. Every set of strings you buy earns you points. Each pack is worth a dollar in points, and you can save those dollars and put them towards anything in the StringJoy merchandise store, which, when you have a bucket of guitars and you're always restringing them, makes for a whole bunch of points and thus free merch. It's just a little thing they've set up to say thank you, but I think it's testament to just what a super bunch of people they are and how deserving they are of your string business. StringJoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock StringJoy yet, ask them to. Matt.
Joe.
What dinosaur has the best vocabulary? The thesaurus. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello, dear listener. Welcome back to another episode. I don't know where we're on, 39th episode, something like that, around there for this season four, 2023's series of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're almost at Gear of the Year. We said all this last week, but it's getting closer.
We are so close.
I'm starting to think about how many episodes we're in, Joe.
Like, let's, total episodes. 500?
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows? The first episode was like 400 episodes long, and then the first series was like 400 episodes long, and then each series after that's probably been like 50. I'm excluding Patreon specials and mini series. We did like the home recording guide. There's the Branton Rant, and there's all those things that we did as well. I don't know. Lots. Many a episode. But so far, left this series where we're sort of near the end of October, so like 1, 2, 3, I don't know, like 8 episodes or less left.
Probably less than that, season. I would have thought, because we normally start, we start first week of December, and that's only 5 weeks away.
Oh, right, you mean we start the Gear of the Year then.
Like, so probably six episodes.
Yeah, blimey, not that many. I'm going to have to start looking more closely at things, you know, potentials for Gear of the Year. Was more stuff starting to come out? Like, if you look, Matthew, at our list, our document for what we're going to talk about on this week's podcast, inevitably, dear listener, we won't get round to the news, or we'll do like one thing. But we've got like 10 things in there at the moment that are exciting new releases. Stuff is happening.
That's just, well, I think we went through a long period of like, you know, COVID and kind of all sort of manner of strange things happening. But there's just been, you know, I think actually probably more so than we realized, lots of stuff has actually been launched this year. I guess there's just maybe less of a, actually, I think what it is there's so much stuff and so much noise. I think we talked about this last week that you sort of forget that some of the stuff that's happened. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Electro-Harmonix launched yet another. I mean, only 2 weeks ago, they went, oh, we've announced, you know, 11 cool. mini pedals. And now they're like, oh, now we've announced something else. It's just like, what? Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, they're always right. Well, I think this year for me, I've actually picked up a lot of stuff that's not new, like things that haven't been released this year. So out of like all things, so this is new and non-new things, what's been your favorite thing that you've got this year?
Oh.
It's tricky, you know, because what? I think you got the Ed O'Brien strap. Is that this year? And you've got the strap
that was last
plus.
Year.
Oh, that was last year. Okay, well, you got the strap plus this year.
I did.
You got the Kaufman pickups this year. You've had umpteen pedal boards. You got the silk tone this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be tricky to say from a guitar perspective because I've only got one guitar. Which sounds so, I only got one guitar this year, and some people get like one guitar every like 10 years. Yeah, it's been a tricky one actually, because like you say, I got the Strat Plus, which I absolutely love, the Silk Tone, which I love. I guess the product that I've used the most is a pedal, and unfortunately, it is a Boss pedal. but one of my favorite things has been the SDE 3000. Dual digital delay. I love the rack unit. I had a rack unit, had it for years, but obviously impractical to kind of use, although I've had it in various setups before.
Yeah.
And I just love having, because I run a stereo rig and having two stereo delays, so four delay lines, and being able to use kind of MIDI to switch those in and on and off and have effectively two different delays. And it's so versatile that for me is... I just don't think I'll ever take it off my pedal board because it does everything that I want it to do.
I was having a
not an argument, but a discussion with someone else about Boss launches this year, and they were like, surely the DM-101, it's the best thing this year. And I was like, well, you know, cool. It is amazing, and I will certainly be rooting for it in Gear of the Year, but my personal favorite has been the SDE.
Did the new Space Echo come out this year?
No, that was last year. That was last year. Do you know what? I actually, looking back on it, I'm trying to think of all the things that I've actually bought this year. And I don't think I've actually really bought loads of pedals this year. Probably one guitar, one amp, and one pedal, realistically. I think we've had a few freebies and stuff, haven't we, Joe? We've had a few bits and pieces that we've tried.
You've got to count freebies in there. Like the thing that you've got that you're using the most. You're using the most, that you like the most.
That I like the most.
With that.
Yeah, I must admit, that is something, although, of course, I love having the Strat Plus, which I was playing again this afternoon, because actually it just sounds better. It's almost weird. It sounds more vintage than the Kaufman pickups that I've put in the 88 Strat. But I think they're so quiet and they're so low output that they kind of, I don't know, they just have that kind of ultimate twanginess to them. But yeah, I'm sure there's a few other things. But what about you, Joe? What about you?
Tricky. I mean, like, it would be easy for me to say the American Vintage 52 Tele. Because, a fantastic purchase for me. Really, really great product. But obviously, as you know, and we're going to talk about later, I have been getting back into Helix. I feel like I'm rediscovering that sort of thing at the moment a bit. But I think the pedal, the thing that I guess I'm using the most or having the most fun with that's made the most impact on how I mess around and play things at home is the Great Eastern Effects Co. Focus Fuzz Silicon. I really like it. I've had a really good year for fuzz this year, really getting into it. And the thing that I really like for fuzz is fuzzes that work, that can be dynamic and that work well on low gain by being a bit spluttery, but not too much. I don't want gated. I just want those, like, you'd be able to dig in and those sort of
oscillating harmonics to be there, but then you'd be able to pull back and it's almost like Edge of Breakup Drive. And there are a few great fuzz pedals out there that do that sort of thing. I really like that because I tend to play finger style on electric guitar and I tend to be picking chords. That sort of thing's quite nice because it means that I can dig in and get a bigger sound than I should be able to get finger picking chords, and I can dial it back. And it's almost like having a modulation pedal on, you know, when you're playing softly with a, it just gives you this soupy warmth. I'm really a big fan of it. And there are a few things. It's not the only pedal that does that sort of thing well. I'm a big fan of the Hi-Watt Custom Shop Fuzz. I absolutely love that. I think that does really well. That does something that the Focus Fuzz Silicon doesn't, in that if you play really softly, you almost go under the filter and it's clean. So you can... Right. You can actually get some cleans out of the Hi-Watt Custom Shop Filter Fuzz, which is very cool. It's not a downside at all. All pedals should be the size of the Focus Fuzz, which, dear listener, sorry, not Focus Fuzz, the Filter Fuzz, the Hi-Watt Filter Fuzz.
If you massive. Haven't
seen, yeah, absolutely massive. Problem is, I don't actually have, I really want it to be on my Alder and Ash pedal board, which is the pedal board I'm using for the Silas Fennec, the band I'm playing guitar stuff in.
Yeah.
But the problem is that board's only like an 8-pedal board. And so the Filter Fuzz is 2 to 4 pedals sacrificed. So it's such a big thing. And the Focus Fuzz Silicon just, you know, does kind of all of those things differently. I'm not saying one's better than the other. They are different devices, but I really like the Focus Fuzz Silicon. That is up there for me. Also a new release for this year, actually, thinking about it. So
I think we need to just go through the gear of the year list, because I'm sure there's a few things that have come out that we've sort of forgotten about that we need to talk about or re-remember. But I'm kind of at that point now where I don't really want to touch the pedal board that I've got set up. It's sort of got everything on it that I want, so it's time to, you know, move
absolutely unbelievable pedalboard. Unbelievable, that pedal board. I shared it on the Facebook group, and people were gawping at the your ridiculous setup, your multi-amp multi-pedal
I appreciate you all. I don't know, gear of the year is definitely going to be interesting. There's a few things. I mean, just going through the news, there's just going to be loads of things that we haven't even talked about. I mean, even scrolling through our sort of usual haunts for news and press releases, I'm like, there's loads of stuff we just haven't talked about. But we like talking about the stuff that we like, and we can't always try it all. So, you know, we pick and choose. We pick and choose. But yeah, there's going to be a lot to come to in Gear of the Year. And that's why it's always good to have Blake and Philip, hopefully, on this one again. Because again, they've got different experiences with trying stuff compared to us on their own podcasts, you know. So,
I'm excited to get that other side of the pond opinion.
Indeed. Just a lot of work for you, Joe, to put together the list. More than enough to talk about.
At the start of the year, every year in January, dear listener, I put together this list where I'm like, right, every week when I do the podcast, I'll also update this list with any new releases. So at the end of the year, I've got one document where everything is. And by like week 5, I've stopped doing it. And the same is true this year. I have no document with all the press releases of the year, which means I have to go back through. I like have to scroll through pages of Premier Guitar and Music Radar to find all the press releases. And of course, they don't do some of the smaller brands, so I also have to like look back through the notes from all of our podcasts and see if I can find any of the bits and bobs. So,
well, that's so why you do the podcast.
Oh well. Last week we started this vintage Pro Shop build and then giveaway that we're going to be doing over the next little while. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, dear listener, what we're doing is we're teaming up with Vintage Guitars. They've got their new Pro Shop where they're custom building any of the guitars or any hybrid versions of the guitars that they make. They do Strat types, Teletypes, Jazzmasters, Les Paul, Les Paul Juniors, 335s, SGs. That's about Right, I think I covered it. Those sorts of things. So each week we're going to pick a feature that then you, dear listener, get to vote on. And you can vote in any way. You can email us, DM us. I set up a poll on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. I set one up on the Patreon. And then I just see, you know, if there's an overwhelming movement towards one feature, and then we'll announce that on the following week's podcast. If there's no clear winner, maybe I'll narrow it down to two and then do an extra week, but we'll see. This week there was a clear winner. We did Body Shape last week, and then we're gonna do, what did I say we're doing this week? Finish. I've got it in
Colors,
in the document here. Colors, yeah. So we're doing the Color, but with also,
which I guess would, you know, also include Finish, because
yeah, we're doing Color
week,
Finish.
They do different levels of distress.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Satin and Gloss would also be an option. So all of those things. So it's the whole caboodle. So this one's going to be much broader, more difficult to do a poll, I guess. I wonder how we'll do it.
I guess everyone can just put.
Everyone can just message. Yeah.
Everyone can just put a color in the Facebook group or message you, however, and whichever one we feel is the most popular based
maybe
on
I'll do. Maybe I'll do two polls. I'll do one for color and one for Redeking.
Yeah, because some people might. Well, but then some people might want Shell Pink, but might want it. Relic, but some people might want Shell Pink.
Well, exactly. Maybe, that's why I do two polls.
Although some colors look better relic'd than they. Than
true.
Otherwise.
Oh no, we can definitely end up with a Homer. That's the risk here. But yeah, I'll do two polls this week, then, dear listener. I'll do one for the Finish, one for the relic'ing, so we can decide whether or not we're going to have this relic'd and by how much. Or maybe I'll just do whether or not. Otherwise, all the people who want it will be split across how much. So we'll do whether or not it's going to be relic'd, and we'll do Matt. You and me can choose how much if relic wins. And then we'll do the Finish. So you guys can choose a Finish. So I'll set up some form where you can add your own colors, dear listener. And then
sounds
also
good.
People can vote on them. But
because I guess it's worth, I was going to say, because unless you were going to say this, Joe, that when I asked you before this podcast started, you could say you can have any color. And I was like, any color. And you were like, any color, which I'm guessing means that they probably go off the standard RAL color chart. RAL is basically the company that makes the colors.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
I'm going to see if I can just actually get out the official. So I think they are. What does RAL stand for? Oh my God, it's some German word. The RAL system was created in 1927 by the German National Commission for Delivery Terms and Quality Assurance. So I think they basically create the standard colors, and then each color gets assigned a code. So basically, you could say, I'll give you a real world example. I've just bought a new front door, very exciting, but my house needs a new door. And they were like, "You can, for a cost, you can have any color from the RAL chart." And because that's a standardized, approved set of colors globally, that basically you just provide that RAL code, and they will then, they know what color to order and to match.
Sure.
And that is basically how you can... You could do that with Fender Custom Shop. So all you need to do is basically go like RAL 4003 and you've got yourself Heather Violet.
I think we might be slightly over broadening this, but by doing that.
Because, absolutely not.
Because two people could have two different ideas of what a Pelham Blue is, but you know, regardless, we'll go through all the options. I'm happy with this.
I don't think we want to go through every RAL option because there is 1,825 RAL colors. Maybe
well,
not.
That does but sound we, like quite can, a lot.
We can make up some colors.
Great. We'll do that. So before we do that, we should talk about the body shape that we will be painting in this color because results are in. Now, on Facebook, it was Facebook, the poll on Facebook and how people messaged me was very similar. Patreon was different. Different taste in Patreon, but still similar. The Gibson models, generally speaking, did the worst. I think that's because people want to, you know, we were saying last week, we want to have more customization. And as soon as you've got a set neck, there's, you're sort of, we're just going to be picking the pickups, aren't we, really? I mean, admittedly, the only extra thing we're going to be really doing is choosing whether we shove a telly neck on a Strat or something like that. But nonetheless, like the Mischief Maker, that was a great guitar. But
that was, indeed.
Nonetheless, the Gibson models generally did the worst. Did worse. The Les Paul, a standard Les Paul, was the most popular on Facebook out of the Gibsons, but it only got 7% of the vote. 335 was hot on its heels with 6, and then juniors, SGs were far behind that. Over on the Patreon, however, no one voted for a Les Paul. 0 Les Paul votes.
Wow.
With a Les Paul Junior double cut actually being the third most popular instrument option over on Patreon. So, you know, some slightly different tastes there. But our top three in ascending order were on the Facebook group were the Telecaster with 14% of the vote. A semi-hollow Telecaster with 18% of the vote, and a Jazzmaster with a whopping 31% of the vote.
Okay.
Absolutely smashed every other body shape. There was, in the comments, there were people saying I shouldn't have split telly and semi-hollow telly. I don't know why I said semi-hollow telly and not thin line telly, but anyway, they were saying I shouldn't have split it, and that's what won Jazzmaster. The winning thing over there.
But I mean, surely you need to split it because
I thought two very different guitars. Yeah, exactly. I thought so. But anyway, so Jazzmaster absolutely smashed it over on Facebook, on the Facebook poll, on the Guitar Nerds group.
Well, there you go.
On Patreon, we had third place going to Les Paul Junior Double Cut with 11% of the vote, and then tied in second, first place, in first place, the thin line Telecaster and the Jazzmaster with 27% of the vote each over there. So a complete tie, which I think if it was a tie, I'd be saying, right, we need to split it down to thin line Telecaster and Jazzmaster and we need to put out another vote. But because it was so unanimous over on the Facebook group, I think we have to accept that the Jazzmaster is going to be the body shape that we're working with, that we're moving forward with. What do you think?
I can accept such a result.
Are you happy with that? Are you happy with the Jazzmaster?
Well, yes, because I don't have a Jazzmaster. Not that I'm necessarily going to win this.
Are you going to enter the giveaway?
I'm absolutely going to enter. But it's nice to build something different that I don't think either of us have got a Jazzmaster either.
I do.
Right,
yeah,
Joe?
I've got a Jazzmaster. I've got that one that Jay lent me and then never collected like 4 years ago.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, isn't it? I don't, so it'll be good for me.
Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. Whether changing strings, setting up your guitar, or detailing every inch of your gear, Music Nomad products are designed and engineered to be their best in class. From top to bottom, each product is so well thought out that it's clear their passion for guitar care is unmatched. With over 100 industry-leading products, it's hard to talk about them all, but some of the favourites are their 100% natural fretboard oil that cleans and conditions your fingerboard like no other, their Guitar Tech tool sets that can adjust just about anything on a guitar, string changing tools that make changing strings a breeze and actually fun, and they demystified the guitar setup process by developing their new innovative Keep It Simple setup, aka KISS for guitar setups. Their KISS precision gauge tool set comes with easy to follow instructions and many how-to videos anyone can follow to set up their guitar to play and sound great. And last but not least, their recent introduction of a game-changing fret care tool line, which takes fret care to the next level. make sure you check out what all the buzz is about around Music Nomad, as they truly are redefining and raising the bar in equipment care. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com or follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare.
I really like Jazzmasters. They're great. The problem with the Jazzmaster I have is it's in that awful colour, the worst finished Fender I've ever done. I think you like it. Dark Knight.
It's named after me.
Midnight blue to black burst.
I mean, it's a kind of similar colour to the Strat Plus that I've got, which is black pearl, which is kind of silver and black, I guess.
Yeah, but silver and black is acceptable.
But not silver burst, but kind of close.
The problem is that blue is, for me, the most difficult. Dark blues, mid blues, are the most difficult colours on guitars. They so easily look terrible. Like, even when you look at like standards like Lake Placid and Pelham, the wrong model in one of those colours can look awful. Like, Squire released a classic vibe jazz bass, 60 style, rosewood neck, block inlays. They did it in Lake Placid blue. All of those things shout amazing guitar. Certainly in photos, looked like a great guitar. Philip Carter got one. It looked like royal blue. It looked like Squire Affinity blue. You know, it was bad. It was a bad color, and that should be a good color. And so my point is, around blues, they're tricky. And I think on Dark Knight, that Fender color, they missed it as well. It looks like a cheap blue in the middle. But we'll see. Whereas cheap reds look good, you know, Fiesta. Great color. Dakota, great color.
Dakota red for me. Actually, is it Dakota red? No, I like Hot Rod red, which the color of the Mark Knopfler signature they did.
One of my favorite Gibson colors, Cardinal red. Now that is a good red.
Yeah,
like a straight red. I like my reds to not have a metallic fleck, as it were.
Right, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah, Cardinal. I like a good post-box red. In fact, when I was a kid, my bedroom was painted, or one of the feature wall, should we say, was painted post-box red.
Right. Great. And how long have you been a demon character from The Shining?
Since I was born on the 6th of the 6th, 66. anyway, so we're at Jazzmaster then.
We've got a Jazzmaster. That's what we're rolling with.
Okay.
It's going to be a Jazzmaster.
Just remind people of the specific, if you can remember, what's the specific model of the Jazzmaster? Is it the 65?
V65?
V65. Is their sort of offset shape. So V65, and at the moment, if you go to V65, you can have it. They are hardtail. You can have hardtail or vibrato. Yes. And a standard with P90 pickups, and I believe a rosewood neck, but obviously all of that could be changed via the UK Pro Shop. So how do you want to do this then, Joe?
Well, I wanted to talk about this new thing that they've added onto the Vintage website. Dear listener, check it out. Vintage Guitars R Us. It's the letter R and Us, like Toys R Us. It's a very weird website name, I agree. But nonetheless, vintageguitarsrus.com. Or just search for Vintage Guitars on the computer connected to the internet. Anyway, they've added this whole new section to their Pro Shop, which is examples. It's a build gallery, so examples of instruments that have been ordered in the past, which is great. This is new because I guess it's a new Pro Shop. There are only so many things that they've built. So this is a cool way to get to see some of the things for inspiration. Certainly, dear listener, inspiration for you suggesting colors to us. Now, when you click on this, the top thing, the most recent, I assume, build that they've done is a vintage V42, which is their precision bass with a jazz bass pickup in it. It is so cool. A vintage V42 Pro Shop in distressed bubblegum pink. Bubblegum pink is a fantastic color. It's got the same sort of boldness as graffiti yellow, but in a pink. It's a great color. It's a maple neck with a reverse headstock, black scratch plate, PJ pickup configuration, light reverking. Is extraordinarily cool. I absolutely love it. I'd play that bass. I'd hate the reverse headstock, but I'd play it.
Let's just buy that. Let's just have that.
I didn't include bases. They're not an option.
No,
what
no,
is the point of a reverse color. Headstock? What is the point? It's so hard to get to the tuners. They are my least favourite thing.
If it's good enough for Dusty Hill, it's good enough for me. Does that
you can't
just
get
the
to the tuners.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to when you're Dusty Hill.
Right.
And, right. you know, and you're in ZZ Top. Why do you need to get to those tuners? I've just Googled Dusty Hill, and the first thing that came up was, on December 16, 1984, Hill accidentally shot himself in the stomach when his Derringer, which is a pistol, a vintage pistol, fell from his boot and discharged. He drove himself to hospital before going into shock.
Wow, that's impressive.
And that's why he has a reverse headstock. that's not why he has a reverse headstock. But I don't know. It's just cool vibes, isn't it? It's less practical for sure.
Fair enough. It's just cool vibes. So some
of
the other things they've got on the vintage, the Pro Shop gallery, the instrument gallery, is one of their vintage V6s, which is their Stratocaster. They've got that with dual nickel-covered humbuckers, Gibson-style humbuckers, in a matte candy apple red, with a parchment plate and a distressed and aged maple neck. That looks absolutely fantastic. I'm very into that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, what else have they got? What else? I'm just picking out some color inspiration for the good listener, because I mean, you can have anything, which obviously makes this portion very, very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a Day of the Dead V100, which is their Les Paul, which has all a cross and some skulls on it. Please don't suggest that, dear listener.
No, but I think what's interesting is they've got lots of real kind of different relics and color over color, all of the classics you'd expect from sort of like Fender colors. They've obviously mimicked some others. You know, there's like a distressed gold, which kind of looks a bit like that bronze Strat from what's his name, who was in the band. I forgot his name. So they've got lots of different sort of Fender colors, all the way up to like emerald green and colors that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Flamed pink.
The flamed pink is pretty cool.
Steampunk bronze. I think you can basically have anything that you want, which incredibly makes this incredibly difficult. I thought,
but also they do color over colors, don't forget, dear listener. Like, they've done their vintage V120, which is their Les Paul Junior single cut. They've done that in Gunhill blue, which is their version of Pelham blue, over red, like a really bold, probably Fiesta red. I think it just says red on the description, but it's
what I want to know is, how are they doing this for the money? it's just like crazy good, realistically, that you can do all of this, and not many are coming in at like over 1,000. Only really come over 1,000 once you sort of suggest other pickups that perhaps aren't in the sort of standard Wilkinson range, for example. But again, just as long as you don't have Day of the Dead or a full body scratch plate, you can basically order whatever you want. Please don't let a full body scratch plate win. Joe, what might be handy, or what might be quite good, is just to have a look at classic Jazzmaster combos, and then maybe we would suggest a couple of non-standard ones. So it's a couple of really good looking vintage ones in Sunburst. I feel Sunburst is a bit too normal.
I think it's unlikely for our listeners to choose Sunburst.
I would think maybe so. But actually, vintage, as soon as you type vintage Jazzmaster, the two colours you get are the V65 in both distressed black and distressed tobacco. Their distressed finishes do look very, very good.
Very good. Their relicking is excellent.
Yes. And then there is quite a few now. Obviously, pictures coming up, because there's an American Vintage 266 Jazzmaster in blue, Lake Placid blue, which looks very, very good.
Yeah, they're very cool. Like, they did the whole Vintera series in that the ice blue metallic as well, which is sort of a lighter, more silver tinted version of Lake Placid, which is a great colour. Jazzmasters do look good in the blue, especially with a matching headstock.
Yeah, and that's why my next suggestion is maybe one that I would potentially urge our dear listener to shout up and suggest, because we did actually see one in this colour, Joe, recently at Guitar Summit when we were at Surfy Bear, but Blue Sparkle. Let's go real vintage. Let's go kind of custom colour, real surfy vibes.
That's very cool.
Blue Sparkle. Pink Sparkle, Purple Sparkle, if we want to go down the J Mascus route, which would be very cool. I'd love to see a Purple Sparkle. A colour that I ordered once when I was at GAC in a Strat, which looked very good, was Champagne Sparkle. Which is kind of it's sort of a lighter gold. It's not as kind of...
Yeah.
I guess, how would I like
a silvery kind of gold?
Yeah, like rose gold, but not rose gold, because rose gold is sort of horrible. It basically looks like the colour of champagne, which is why it's called Champagne Sparkle. But I think sort that's like a very, very cool colour. Yes, that's how you could also describe it. I do love the Purple Sparkle, though. Can you also have matching headstock? I guess you can have matching headstock.
Yeah, sure, why not? We should
totally have matching headstock. But, I mean, if it was me, I would be tempted for the Purple Sparkle. Or, Joe, how about Hollow Flake?
What is Hollow Flake?
So Hollow Flake is, if people Google it now, if you're in front of a computer, Hollow Flake is basically multicolored black sparkle. So it's black, but it's got blue, green, yellow, red.
Awful. Awful.
What?
Awful.
Oh, it's awful.
I bet you're the sort of guy who thinks that Lamborghinis look classy. What an awful colour.
What that is? That, do you not remember the Gibson Les Paul that we had in? I'm pretty sure we sold to Gary Moore in Hollow Flake. Gibson Les Paul, Hollow Flake.
Oh, it's hollow like for hologram, right? Oh, I see. Yeah.
No, I'm not into this. H-O-L-O. Oh, yeah. Joe.
I can't get behind this colour. But dear listener, you can, if you want to F me, then you can. Like, choose Hollow Flake. Please don't. But you know what you should be choosing, dear listener? Bubblegum pink is a great colour. It's on brand.
Bubblegum sparkle.
Also an option. If you want to be tasteful, what about olive green?
No one wants to be tasteful.
Fender did a limited edition player Jazzmaster with a torque guard and an olive green. It's a great colour. Think about how good like olive drab looked on all those, on the Gibsons that they released in that
colour. For inspiration, I've just been quickly searching reverb various colours, and this has come up. PRS USA, Paul Reed Smith, Mark Tremonti, signature private stock in replicant purple, right? So the top and the neck fretboard are the same piece, and the headstock are all flamed maple, and they're all in the same purple color. I'm so into this guitar, but at £9,000, I will never afford it. But yeah, that is absolutely, it's just absolute madness. What about Paisley, Joe? Could we go Paisley?
I don't know. I don't know if we can ask them for that. I guess we could try, but that'd be pretty awkward if everyone chose Paisley and then we had to ask them and then they said no.
True. And it could, and it won't be Paisley with the wallpaper, because they basically couldn't really.
They couldn't do it. Yeah, they'd have to do some approximation of it, wouldn't they?
I mean, I do like the idea of some sort of pink. Absolutely.
Yeah. The bubblegum pink. I'm so into that color. That is a great color.
It is a very cool color.
Especially relict. It will look great. It sort of takes the sheen, the plasticiness of it away, seeing it in a relic.
But. Well, it was, we always talk about Trent guitars, don't we? In bubblegum pink. So, you know. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Trent guitars.
Well, yeah, let's have Paisley. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do this, Joe, but I guess if people want us to be on brand, then it would be some sort of pink.
Yeah, that would be great. What I'll do is I'll set up a poll, dear listener, but I'll allow the ability for people to add colours, and then we'll just see how it goes. Also, feel free to DM us, message us, post pictures of your guitars or guitars that you like, and tag us on Instagram. And you know, next week, I think this is so broad that we're unlikely to have a clear winner. So what I'll probably do is the stuff that gets a few votes, I'll try and narrow it down to a few. And then the next week we'll do one with maybe 3-4 options, something like that. And you can all vote on that, but we'll see. This first week, throw your suggestions at us and we'll take it from there. It's going to be something
interesting.
It's going to be something.
It's going to be interesting. Well, talking of custom guitars then, Joe, you've jumped the gun. You're not even, you've ordered yourself something else from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Come on, Joe, tell the story, because we were just talking only at Guitar Summit about you ditching the telly and getting a custom Kaufman, but then you've gone, I've ordered something else instead.
So what's happening? Yeah. I have. So really what it was, you know, last week, dear listener, I got to go and see Blink-182. I know how tacky and cheesy they are, but you know, it was like, they're all my childhood. So, you know, it was great. It was really exciting getting to see them. And then a few days later, their new album came out. Sure. It's obviously not their best work, but yeah, it was so much fun hearing new songs from this band that I used to care about when I was young. I was like, oh yeah, it was like
never played the custom shop guitar they've literally just launched, which I've just had an email from Fender saying they're back in stock. I'm like, you should probably get him to play one, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I can't believe he didn't even play it on the songs that actually used that guitar.
That is just beyond me. But anyway.
So I was like, you know what I really want? I want a Mark Hoppus P bass, because they're great. Now, they were around in, they came out in three different iterations, dear listener. They were around in the early 2000s, available in like a Daphne Blue and a Surf Green. And what they were is a jazz bass body with a precision pickup. Then they had a Rosewood precision neck with a 9.5-inch radius. Yep, sort of modern C. That was the instrument. Just a perloid guard on those. That was the original. Then later, when they went through their emo phase, it was re-released in black and white. So there was a black one with a black guard and a white one with a black guard. Same spec, exactly. And then after that, after Blink-182 split and Mark Hoppus founded Plus 44, they released a new one, a Plus 44 version of this bass. This time, the precision pickup was reversed, so the higher two strings had the higher part of the precision pickup rather than the lower part of the precision pickup, if that makes sense. So your E and your A string are still dealt with in the, it's still in the same position, but the other side is higher. So the pickup almost looks as if it's further up on the body. It's exactly the same for your low strings. And the reason behind that was Mark Hoppus plays a lot of chords and he wanted more low-end resonance from the chords that he's using the D and the G string for. So that was that. And they released that this time in wood grain finishes, in through colors, and they did a surf green and they did a blonde version of this. The surf green, I think, had a perloid plate and the blonde had a torque guard this time. Neck stays the same, precision neck. Also, all of these models only have a volume control, no tone. And it's a one-piece scratch plate where jazz basses normally have a separate control cavity. This is a one-piece scratch plate like a precision would be. So those are the models. You certainly never see the Plus 44 ones. They were released in much smaller numbers. They never come up secondhand. You rarely see the emo ones, the black or the white one. And you occasionally see the original ones because they were probably made the most of them. But where this instrument was £600, you know, 15 years ago, they're now going for people want 1300, 1500, stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I really want one, but also I can kind of take or leave any of these finishes. You know, they're not especially for me. I'm also not fussed about like a modern neck, really, but I really want one. And I thought, I know who does. I thought I should get one made because they're so rare. And I was thinking I should get one made at the price that they go for secondhand. I should just get one made. So I was thinking about who I could talk to about that. And I thought Rigby Music. Do you remember we spoke about these guys a few weeks ago, Matt?
Yes, we did. Yeah, based in Manchester, if I remember rightly.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, based in Manchester. Fantastic shop. Lovely, wonderful people there. And just like so considerate and caring and part of the community and trying to do something and create a community around music. I love it. And their whole thing with their builds is they make Fender style instruments in relict nitro finishes, dear listener, but they do them for super affordable prices. They're not reinventing the wheel. They're not offering anything unique like Trent or Fidelity or SBC or anyone like that. They're just, you know, dead simple F-style guitars, you know, with Rigby written on the headstock. You know, that's what you're getting. And so I messaged them and I was like, you know, I said my idea and they were like, oh yeah, we're actually doing exactly this with a Fender Strat, a Strat style body for someone else. And so this was my idea. This is my idea. I wanted to blend 40-year-old me and 16-year-old me. So 16-year-old me just wants the Mark Hoppus because 16-year-old me listened to a lot of punk pop. These days I listen to a lot of blues, a lot of old prog, a lot of King Crimson, stuff like that. And I like cool old vintage things. So I wanted to blend up the Hoppus. Basically, I want to do a Hoppus, but I want to do it retro. So I've gone for a relic burgundy mist Hoppus with a matching headstock and lacquered neck, 7.25-inch radius. So 62-style neck, basically, precision neck, jazz bass body, one-piece plate, and it will be an aged parchment guard, light relic, burgundy mist, matching headstock. That's what I'm going for.
Nice.
Less, dear listener, than £1,500.
No, that is, that's impressive.
That is
very impressive.
Yeah.
Very.
It is an impressive price point. Impressive. Now, I am in two minds about changing it to an aged Olympic white. He said I don't have to set one that just yet because it's a 3 to 6 month wait. So I'm, you know, I'll think about that for a little while. I'll probably change my color. If it's going to be, you know, one of the last things, I'll probably change my idea on that maybe 5 times between now and the time it's built. But what do you think I should go for?
iZotope by Native Instruments have been at the heart of great production tools and performance plugins for a long, long time now. They've helped guitar nerds to sound crisp and polished no matter how bad Matt's mic technique is for almost a decade, and they can and should be a part of your home recording setup too. iZotope have just released Ozone 11, the most advanced mastering software you can possibly get your hands on. Ozone 11 includes AI-assisted software that can listen to your mixes and make suggestions on a final mix. Honestly, it's been years since I've so much as touched an EQ fader. I just let Ozone do the work, and I have a pro-quality mastered podcast in minutes. Ozone Elements is as little as $49, and don't forget, you get 10% off all iZotope and Native Instruments plugins with discount code NERDS10.
Oh, it's just, I don't know. I, to be honest, what you suggested sounds good. I mean, me and you would order very, very different things, to be honest. Yeah. But also, I am not a bigger fan of Mark Hoppus as you, realistically. Yeah. So I think it sounds like you've ordered the right thing. I mean, the matching headstock. I mean, I just put Mark Hoppus into Google, and the first thing that came up is his one in pink. And I'm just like, it does look very good. Yeah, that sort of, is it? Well, I mean, it's obviously relicked over time from him playing it, but I'm just going to put in Mark Hoppus bass. Let's have a quick look from a non... Oh, I like the fact that LA Bass Guitar, which is the Gear for Music brand, is the first thing that comes up, and it's a P bass in pink. and lots of him playing this sort of Jazz Master bass.
Yeah, that's what he's moved to now. He's moved to the Jaguar shape. With exactly the same spec, but Jaguar shape, yeah.
The hot pink does look so good, or bubblegum pink. It just looks so good.
Yeah.
Some really good pictures of that. That is it's a great looking bass. I totally play that. But they never made that as a signature, right? They've never made... I reckon it's coming. It's got to be coming, so surely. They're like...
They already do. You could get it. A limited run he sold from his web store, his hi-my-name-is-mark.com web store. So you could purchase that bass from there, but I think only in the States.
Right. Shame.
It's a shame.
It was... So what's the lead time on...
3 to 6 months, which I don't think is too bad.
No, that seems fine. I mean, looking at some of the recent custom builds they've got on there, they've got some great stuff. They've got some really, really great stuff. We talked about them before. You can download their pick and mix guide, because I think it's what here, pick and mix Partcaster, pick from the catalogue of parts to build your dream guitar from 800. Custom build, unique colours, hardware and design, not available off the shelf. Prices from 1200, or a complete bespoke custom design all the way from the ground up. Prices from 1800. So does yours come under the pick and mix option then, Joe? Or is yours...
I guess so, yeah, somewhere around there.
Which is not bad.
There are some customizations, you know, that are going to have to happen, because you can't buy a Jazz, because I think, you know, they obviously get their parts, source the parts, and then they edit them from there. But you can't get a Jazz bass body with a, you know, cut for a precision pickup. So they'll have to, you know, do that.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. But no, that's
and
very cool. So
the plate will have to be custom made, obviously, as well.
So now we just need to wait 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. exactly.
Can you wait that long, Joe? Or will you buy another bass in the meantime?
I'll inevitably buy something else in the meantime. It's fine. Well, I tell you, in a couple of days' time, I've got my 62 Japanese precision bass body coming back from Matt Oram, Fidelity Guitars.
Oh, yeah.
Remind
everyone what colour you've had this one refinished in.
I've gone for a relic Olympic white on that one. Nice. I've got a lovely parchment guard. I've got like the Jaguar mute kit that I'll be fitting on that, and I've got a lovely relict 62 P bass neck that will be going on that. Fingers crossed he's going to get that to me for Wednesday, so I should be able to put it together and get it set up and playing so that I can actually take it on tour the following week, which would be nice.
Wow. So you're literally going straight in. No warm-up, just...
Well, it will be the backup, you know. Like, I'm taking my I'm playing my Roger Waters P bass, my main precision for this tour. Mm-hmm. So it will just be the backup. But if it's, you know, if I trust it, if it feels really good, because I won't have time to band practice with it, is the problem. But you know, maybe right. I'll use it in a sound check, and if I'm like, yeah, this is great, then I'll use that.
Fair enough. Oh well, that'll be good to see. And then how that'll bring the total of basses to how many? Where are we at now, Joe?
I don't know. 20 something. I've so many I need to get rid of. I want to sell my Music Master, my 69 Precision, my EB1. I've got about 5 or 6 jazz basses that I'm going to sell. I'm going to sell both my prototype Ashdown jazz basses. Yeah, loads of stuff. Loads of stuff.
A full clear out from Joe. Yeah. And then on that side of things, you've ordered that, but yeah. You know, Ashdown and launching more bases.
Oh yeah, well yeah. This we'll talk about this briefly because I shared a picture of this and this is quite exciting. I tried not to sort of overplug Ashdown on this podcast. I don't want it to seem like a, you know, that sort of thing, dear listener. Also, it's a guitar podcast, not a bass podcast. I realize I've gone on about basses for about the last 30 minutes, but yeah, I've been working on for the last couple of years with Ashdown these new affordable basses. So we wanted to make some basses out of China so that we could do them for reasonable prices. They do Korean basses at the moment that they're done with Dan Lakin from Lakeland Guitars, and they were great. They were like Dan Lakin's jazz bass style one, his P bass style one, and they also did an offset which is called the Saint, which wasn't designed by Dan Lakin. That was designed by Dan Gooday at Ashdown. So we were working on making some affordable versions of that. And one of the other shapes, the Lowrider, which is like a Fender Bird, so a Thunderbird body with a bolt-on jazz bass neck, essentially. And we finally put them out, these Saint basses. So we've released a Saint and a Saint Soap in this Chinese run of affordable models. It's the Jaguar-style body shape. The Saint bass comes with a PJ, and the Saint Soap has a soap bar pickup bang in the middle of the body. We've done them in like an Ashdown Ice blue, which is a bit like a pale Daphne blue. We've done a shell pink, a metallic shell pink, and we've done like a metallic green, sort of a mid metallic green, which is quite nice. So it's those three colors and that bass in a couple of different pickup configurations. We also did the short scale version of the Saint Soap called the Capri. And we did like a satin black Lowrider with a couple of Music Man style pickups in it. But the real one is the Saint Soap. A soap bar pickup, roasted maple neck and board, jazz bass neck profile, just a simple volume and tone. It's so cool. It's like begging to be used with flats. And managed to keep like the price tag at I don't know what it is, like less than £400. I actually don't know what it is.
Wow.
Let's find out. Ashdown Saint Soap. I don't know what we ended up going for in the end.
Roasted bases or Ashdown bases?
£299. That's what the Saint Soap is. Less than £300, which is incredibly reasonable. But the story behind the Saint Soap is pretty funny because what happened is we received the shipment of basses and we're unboxing them. And we're like, yeah, let's check out these short scale Capris that we got. And we opened them up and we were like, these aren't short scale. they'd like misread that whole model and basically made it as a full size Saint. But we had a bunch of them and we were like, oh no, that's terrible. But then we were like, oh, these are actually great. So it was a complete accident. These were supposed to be short scale with a reduced body size. And the Chinese factory missed that bit. And made them in 34-inch scale with the full body size. And then we were like, oh, actually, these are really cool. So $299 is the price tag we managed to keep them down for. And they are very, very cool. I only wish we'd done them in a colour that I could play in polymath, you know.
Black.
Yeah.
Basically.
Exactly. They're very cool.
I must admit, I like the Roasted Capri. At $299, that is a very, very cool bass.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And pretty in good. Pink, obviously. Yeah, keeping the keeping the pressure on, making sure that everything is got at least one pink option.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really glad that like after 2 years of being at Ashdown, I managed to get Pink instruments released through them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proper well guitar done. Nerds at Ashtown right there.
Indeed.
But one of the other things we released was the triple shot. They released the triple shot, which is a bass overdrive, dear listener, that's got like a, you get a 3-band EQ on it, and then you get 3 drive controls for each band, which is really handy because you can kind of clean up your low end maybe and boost your treble. You can scoop all that tone out and then just drive your low and your high, get a real metal sound. You can get it really clangy. I've got a little demo sample to play of that actually. Let's listen to that. This is, I'm basically repeating a riff but running through a few different sounds that the triple shot does. I think it sounds fantastic. It's a great solution. Look, if you're even a part-time bass player looking for an overdrive, I had a hand in how this was voiced. It wasn't just me, but you know, I was there in the R&D, and I think it sounds great.
In the background,
In the back, I was like, "Yeah, this is rubbish. No, this is good." That was about my you know how much I worked on it, but it does sound great. And this is the triple shot. Go. That was the Ashdown triple shot. That was just like a handful of the different sort of drive tones it can do, from modern to vintage. I think it's extraordinarily cool. Do check
yeah,
it out.
I think it runs on 18 volts as well.
Ah, that's the old triple shot. That was one of the things he changed. Basically, I think Dave Green, the designer, he's like such a purist. And so he was like, no, all pedals need to be 18 volts so that they work better. And then, of course, we released them and everyone was like, well, I've got nothing to power this. I'm not buying it. So this time, the second triple shot, we were like, Dave, please make it 9 volt so people can use it.
Ah, okay. It's the new one. Okay, so the new one has got the 2 big LED arrows pointing to the stomp box, and as well as the VU meter.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah.
That runs on. Can you still run it on 18 or does it run on 9
only? I think it just runs on 9, yeah. I think it runs on 9.
It sounds
maybe it's
very
got an
good.
Internal thing. But yeah, I did think it sounded good.
Yeah, no, I think it's, again, you know, just a great demo to highlight the amount of available tones. And you were just going, what, DI in and just using a bass amp model in guitar rigs, you say?
Yeah, that was dead simple. I actually used I used an Ampeg B15, but it was straight into the DAW. Yeah, and just used a flat Ampeg B15, one of the plugin alliance ones. It's really good, actually.
Cool.
I think it's about 120 quid to buy the plugin. But it was great. Actually, on the plugin note, dear listener, don't forget, I'll mention it again. We're not affiliated with these guys, but this is a cool thing. Universal Audio are giving away their LA2A compressor plugin for free. They're doing that until the end of the month. It's well worth it. Definitely get it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Where should we, Joe, we're sort of nearly up at time. What do you want to talk about at the end? Have we got time for one more thing? We're 3 minutes.
we can run over a bit. We should get a little bit of news done before we head over, and then we'll talk about everything else over on the Patreon. So one of the more exciting new releases of this week is a distortion pedal that offers a massive amount of control. You were quite excited about this, Matt. It's our good friends at Old Blood Noise Endeavors.
Indeed. Brady, Dan, all of the guys, legends. We miss you dearly. Dan was on the podcast. Was it last year? I think it was like towards the end of last year, maybe.
Yeah.
I seem
yeah.
to remember sitting at my crappy desk when we were talking, because we were talking about the filter pedal, the Float, which is their dual moving filter. And I've just sort of realized how many pedals they've also had this year that we've just not really talked about. They've had the whole BL series, which has got the fader. So they did the reverb, the reverse, the chorus. They've also updated a bunch of their things into the V3. But this, I feel, is... again, this is just old blood noise all over. This is the Beam Splitter, which is a 13 control distortion. Now, how do you get
How do you get 13
controls out of a distortion? Well, as they put it, or I've seen some YouTubers put it for sure, it's not just mono, it's not just stereo, it's therio, because actually there's three outputs on this thing. So effectively, it is a triple distortion, three distinct distortion channels, a hard clipping. You've then got a soft clipping, and then I'm just having a look for the other one there. Three different types of distortion. Each can be run in parallel mono, right, or you can run each one out of its own individual output. And then what you have on two of the drive channels, you then have two different delays, each with a maximum of 125 mil with their own time and decay control, and then a deviate control that then like separates the two. So it randomly varies the delay time. So you can have two short delays plus three distortions all running at once. And
It sounds very up your street. How would you set this up then?
I have absolutely no idea. I think actually what would be really cool with this would be running... I'm going to have a quick look at the manual, but if you could run it in stereo, what would be quite cool is to run... effectively, I wonder if you could run two chains, so you could have two drives running into, and then like obviously you could run them into two separate amplifiers, or you could then mix them back in, because they've also got a stereo to mono mixer, haven't they, a pedal that allows you to run stereo signal back out into mono,
right?
So you could have two parallel voices if you really wanted to, because each one of those I mean, it's all off one foot pedal. I don't know. I like the idea of running it in triple.
Would you run it in
mono? I like the idea of running it in mono and just being able to like kind of get all the drives to interact with each other, and then using the deviate control to kind of give you the sort of weirdness and the variation. I mean, as they put it, Beam Splitter is a single pedal meant to create a massive sound. So it's three different takes on overdrive, voice to work well together. Two of them can be delayed in time, and all three can be run in parallel or split out of three separate sources. Beam Splitter takes a mono input and makes a wildly bigger than before. So, yeah, why guitar your guitar thrice when Beam Splitter exists? So yeah, you could run into three separate inputs on your interface and have three different distortion tracks you want. But basically, a hard clipping distortion, a green, so three colors, purple, green, and blue. Purple is a hard clipping distortion. Green is an overdrive with soft and hard clipping, and blue is a transistor overdrive. And I think the idea is that you've not just got three ridiculous... It's not like the Life pedal from
Earthquaker,
which is like a rat running into a Big Muff or whatever. So it's just like all the gain. I mean, this obviously has a lot of gain in it, but I think you could really dial in some really interesting mixes, because obviously the great thing with running stuff in parallel is that you're not running one distortion into another. So they don't interact with each other in the same way, but obviously they create a really fat sound. So running distortions in parallel is actually a really, really cool thing to do, especially if you're running it out into two amps. know, again, very cool, because you could have a light overdrive into a kind of maybe slightly driven amplifier, and you could have a clean amp with then that could have like the most distorted signal, for example. I'd imagine that might be quite good on bass.
I mean, you could kind of do that Billy Sheehan thing. So what he does, because he has two outputs on his bass to deal with the separate pickups. So he's got his neck humbucker, and then he's got a precision pickup. Both of those going to separate amps, and he has one amp designed to deal just with his low end, and the other amp with all the low end cut that's just dealing with mid frequencies mostly and some treble. And then he blends those back, and it means that he can drive things whilst keeping his fundamentals, you know, relatively intact. This sort of pedal would be great for that sort of thing. You could have all your mids, you know, running through a pretty hot distortion, whereas you could have your low end just being kept warm by that like transistor overdrive. I think it would be a cool thing on bass.
I think something I'm going to explore a little bit more. As I said, I'm going to start building another pedal board at some point. So especially now I've got this pedal board with these three Moog pedals on, which we talked about last week. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with that? You know, because that's almost like a noise machine in its own right. So, you know, what could we do there? Don't know. But definitely another really cool option for people out there from Old Blood Noise, which is a brand we've not talked about enough this year, despite so many great products.
Yeah, they make such great products. Yeah. Well, we will see. We'll see what comes from them next. They're such an exciting brand. We must get them back on the podcast next year.
Yes. Yeah, we should. We really need to get Brady and Dan back on for 100%.
Yeah, a brilliant brand. But anyway, that does actually bring us up to the end of this week's episode of Guitar Nerds. Dear listener, Matt and I are heading over onto Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. Maybe we'll talk about Axe FX. We'll take some questions from the group. There's loads more bits of news. We're going to be talking about things like that. Join us over there. You can do for as little as $1 a month. If you just go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, it'll give you all the details on how you can sign up and become part of this charming community. Matt's actually taking the next couple of weeks off, aren't you, Matt? So it's we've got 1 week off, and then I'm away, so I'm recording something at a different time. So is that right?
Yes, and then you're on tour, so
I think we're
sort of not going to cross paths for 3 weeks now, I think.
Something like that. But he'll be back afterwards. We've got Philip Carter joining us, and we've got JD Short joining us on the other episode. We're going to be doing a roundup of the London International Guitar Show next week.
Of course, that is this Sunday as well, isn't it?
Exactly. So yeah, so that's going to be a barrel of fun. But do listen to us next week for that, dear listener. We'll be back then with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your goodie bags. But for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izao Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravitt.